The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Let's begin, everyone. It's 2 p.m., January 20th, 2022. I will call the virtual meeting of the hearings officer for the TRPA to order. My name is Andrew Strain, and I will be serving as your hearings officer today. Item 2 on our agenda is the approval of the agenda. I will check with our staff to see if there are any proposed changes to the agenda.
Hi, Andrew. This is Julie Roll. I just wanted to note that item 5B, the Revica America Trust Land Capability Challenged, is being continued to the February 3rd, 2022 meeting. It is noted on the agenda, but I just wanted to make a point of stating that.
Very good. Thank you, Julie. We'll plan to proceed today with public hearing agenda items 5A and 5C as shown on our agenda, and we'll continue item 5B to February 3rd, 2022, and take that from there. I will approve the amended agenda as we have just discussed. Item number 3 is our public interest comments. Any member of the public who wishes to address the hearings officer on any agenda item not listed as an announcement of appeal rights or as a public hearing item or on any other issue may do so at this time. However, public comments on the announcement of appeal rights or public hearing items will be taken at the time that those agenda items are heard. At this point, I will ask Georgina to look for a show of hands to see if there's anyone who would like to address the hearings officer today on a non-announcement of appeal rights or a non-public hearing item. Georgina?
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature of the GoToWebinar app. The hand icon is located on the tab to the left of the GoToWebinar control panel. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand and I will announce and unmute you, and you will have 3 minutes to make your comments. And no hands were raised, so we can continue with the review of the agenda.
Thank you, Georgina. We'll move on to agenda item number 4, which is the announcement of appeal rights. I want to let everyone listening today know that any decision of the hearings officer is appealable to the TRPA Governing Board within 21 days of the hearings officer decision. The application fee and appeal application can be found at the TRPA website. We'll now move on to agenda item 5, our public hearing items. Item 5A is the Bach Land Capability Challenge. Located at 1105 Tiller Drive, Washoe County, Nevada. The assessor's parcel number is 130-211-11, and the TRPA file number is LCAP2021-0257. Julie Roll, can you please give us a brief introduction of this item?
Sure, this is Julie. So this land capability challenge was reviewed on behalf of TRPA by our soils consultant, Phil Scholes, and he's on the line today. The proposed recommendation from staff is to change the land capability for this parcel to land capability classes 4 and 6. We have not received any public comment on this item, and that's all I've got.
Thank you, Julie. Phil, I'm glad you could join us today in the midst of your travels. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure.
Can you please give us a summary of your findings on site and as part of your report in conclusion?
Yes. We have a site, a residential parcel that was originally mapped under the Bailey system as having class 4, class 6. An LCV was done and identified the lowest part of the property as being mostly SEZ. And I should back up and give a little context. This property has an upper terrace, and then it slopes down rather steeply to a lower terrace that's relatively flat. And this relatively flat area is part of the historical floodplain for Mill Creek, which is about 50 to 100 feet off site, depending on where you measure it. So the sole consultant that did the work for the property owner dug three different pits on each of those landforms and found that all of them were high capability, and that in particular, the lowest terrace that was partially mapped under the LCV as SEZ, in fact, had no evidence of water. And taking a close look at vegetation adjacent to it, most of the understory had been cleared on this property, just as sort of the regular sort of landscape. And so adjacent areas were looked at for vegetation to see if they met the primary indicator for vegetation, but they did not. So we could not verify what the LCV had identified, which I suspect was mapped probably based more on landform and proximity to Mill Creek rather than actually looking closely at either the vegetation or the soils in this case.
Anything else, Phil?
It was relatively straightforward, just that it is a little bit unusual, as you've noted in the past, that going from class 1B to a class 4, class 6, does mean that we are paying close attention to these details so that we're not inadvertently making a change.
Yes, absolutely right. And I'm familiar with the Mill Creek drainage in general, but not this specific location. I was curious how different the LCV concluded at the lower terrace, the upper terrace and the part nearest the existing residence and the end of Tiller Drive, or the circle there at the end of the roadway. That was all very similar, it seemed to me, in layout and size and area and conclusions to the LCV, but I was struck by the marked difference in the SEZ indicators, which it did appear to me, looking at the photographs, to be a fairly dry site. And I know it's been dry recently and may have had some bearing on it compared to what the conditions were back when that LCV was done in, I think it was 1998.
Yeah.
The antecedent conditions.
Yeah, there is a possibility, but it wasn't noted in the LCV, that maybe a prior owner of that property had planted or had some willows or cottonwoods or aspen or something like that might have suggested a wetter condition than was actually there.
Yes.
It isn't unusual to have areas have been mapped or identified as SEZ under an LCV when they were actually planted.
All right, very good. Thank you, Phil. I appreciate the explanation. That helps. At this point, I don't have any other questions for staff or our consultant. Is there anyone on the line today representing the applicant? All right, hearing none, I will open the public hearing and ask Georgina to look for a show of hands for anyone who would like to provide public comment on this agenda item 5A. Georgina?
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature of the GoToWebinar app. The hand icon is located on the tab to the left of the GoToWebinar control panel. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand, and I will announce and unmute you, and you'll have 3 minutes to make your comments. And no hands were raised, so we can continue with the review of this agenda item.
Thank you, Georgina. Seeing that we have no additional public comment, I will close the public hearing on this item and take action on the proposed land capability challenge. Based on the information that's contained in our staff report, including the findings and conclusions reached by it and the technical study that accompanies it, I will approve the Bach land capability challenge as it has been proposed. Let's move on now to item 5C. The Indigo Violet LLC Land Capability Challenge, located at 994 Lakeshore Boulevard, also in Washoe County, Nevada. The assessor's parcel number is 122-151-12, and the TRPA file number is LCAP 2021-0318. Julie, I believe this is also your item.
Yes, this is Julie. So this land capability challenge was also reviewed by Phil Scholes on behalf of TRPA. The recommended change is to have the land capability adopted as Class 1B, Class 4, and Class 6. We have not received any public comment about this item.
Very good. Thank you, Julie. Phil, while we still have you, can you please give us a summary of your investigations and what you found in your conclusions, please?
Yes. This is a lakeshore property that has sort of a gently sloping terrace going towards Lake Tahoe, then has a subtle sort of drop in the slope. I think it's about 5 or 7 feet high. And then it flattens off again as it sort of transitions into the beach of Lake Tahoe. And a LCV done on the property had identified the majority of the property as Class 6. And then in the vicinity of where this little dip down occurs, Class 4, and then some beach area. And so the applicant had Sid Davis, a consulting soil scientist, do a land capability challenge investigation. I was there at the time that was happening. And so I, you know, got to see all the pits and discussion with him and so on. And we agreed that the area that had been previously under the LCV and mapped as Class 4 was smaller, and that the area identified as beach was also a lot smaller. So there was a net change of an increase of Class 6 across the property, a reduction of Class 4, and a reduction of Class 1B, which I did want to note that there is a typo that I made on the staff report, unless it got corrected. Up at the very beginning, under staff recommendation, it says on the second line down, reduce land capability Class 2 and Class 4, that Class 2 should be Class 1B.
Got it. Thank you, Phil. Yes, that makes sense.
It was an unusual site insofar as we actually had two buried soils that we observed in both the auger hole and the backhoe pit. So we could see that there was a naturally buried layer, and then there was a naturally buried layer below that one. And so we've surmised that the reason this particular soil formed that way is that there's times when Lake Tahoe was tens of feet lower, potentially for decades or hundreds of years, and we believe that sand pretty much just sort of blew up from the exposed lake bed and buried the soil that was there. And then, climate change occurred and lake levels came back up, and then it somehow repeated itself.
Were there any times you're familiar with or heard about when the lake level in prehistoric times or earlier times was actually higher than it
raised
in more modern times?
The times that the lake level was higher, and sometimes it was substantially higher, like 150 feet higher, was, you know, in times that would have been over 100,000 years ago. And there's lots of discussion on how that sort of occurred. But one of them is that there was a volcanic eruption that blocked the Truckee River and caused and essentially formed a dam.
Yes.
But as we have seen, you know, in I think it was 2016 or so, when the lake was low for several years in a row, that there's no outlet at that point, and the lake just slowly gets a little bit smaller. But we do know that the lake has been substantially smaller in those, you know, those sort of extended drought conditions.
The change that struck me that I noticed the most. It certainly wasn't the only change in the 1998 LCV and your more recent mapping last year as part of this item. Looks like the Class 1B BE soils moved towards the lake from the between that LCV and your land capability challenge field work. Am I seeing that correctly, Phil?
Yes, Yeah, you are. The LCV mapped an area that was already stabilized. It was lawn area. And looking at adjacent properties, the only areas we're allowed to map as Class 1B as beach is if it is essentially is loose sand and is sparsely or unvegetated. So even though this is an area that is landscaped, there's no indication that this area was historically, a loose kind of material that was sparsely vegetated. There's some fairly large trees on some adjacent properties, pretty close to that same elevation that was originally mapped as BE.
Yeah, I couldn't tell from our 1998 LCV, the information in our packet, I couldn't tell if west of the Class 1 BE boundary line that's shown in black, what material that was, if that was lawn on that side or not. I just couldn't tell. It wasn't labeled.
There's a small retaining wall that's probably been there as long as the current house is. You can sort of, when you're on site, you can sort of see that the materials that they used for the siding of the house, the rock material, it's the same for the retaining walls. And so that's been there for a while. We have a problem, and it's more evident on the west shore than, say, on the north shore, where there have been retaining walls for potentially, 50 or 100 years of knowing exactly where the original sort of beach edge was. And so in the absence of knowing that kind of information, we usually stop the beach at the retaining wall. Sometimes it's a line of boulders, but it's a question of proof. And we have not got great proof, showing the line between beach and vegetated areas where there's been homes there for, 50 or 100 years.
I see. And do any of the documents in the regional plan package, I'm thinking specifically of the Code of Ordinances, do they provide you as the field people in general, the soil scientists, with any guidance about how that should be conducted and essentially defined?
I have not ever cross-referenced to that. So if there is something that I should be aware of, I would like to know.
Julie, do you know?
No, I don't. Excuse me.
Okay.
It sounds like a Tiffany Good question.
Yeah.
Whether or not we have any guidance for that situation that you've just described or that type of situation.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Go ahead,
Phil.
I was just going to say the reason it's more apparent on the west shore is the west shore gets beat by larger waves and it's rockier. More erosion, whereas on the North Shore, there's a natural beach in a lot of those areas. So that sort of helps buffer the that kind of situation. There's lesser need for a retaining wall.
Very good. Thank you, Phil. And I appreciated the site photographs that were in this staff report as well as our previous item. It looks like you were in that area almost the same time back in August, and it looked to me like the photographs you included in both reports show the smoke in the basin. And I think, I don't remember the exact day that the Caldor fire started to approach Tahoe, but little did we know at that point what lay ahead.
Yeah, these were back-to-back days, and the following day, I was scheduled to do field work, and the smoke had gotten so bad that we had to call it off.
Yeah, it seems to me it was around the 26th that we got the go code to get out, but I may be off a day or two. All right, very good. Thank you, Phil. Appreciate it.
Sure.
I don't have any further questions for the staff or our consulting soil scientist. Is there anyone on the line today representing the applicant? All right, hearing none. At this point, I will go ahead and open the public hearing on this item and ask Georgina to please look for a show of hands for anyone who would like to provide public comment or input on this item. Georgina?
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature of the GoToWebinar app. The hand icon is located on the tab to the left of the GoToWebinar control panel. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand and I will announce and unmute you, and you'll have 3 minutes to make your comments. And we have a comment from Jackson Riallo.
Yes, please go ahead.
Hi there. Yes, my name is Jackson Riallo. I am working as an assistant planner for Exxon & Company. I apologize. I had my hand raised there, but I guess I just didn't get noticed to get unmuted there. Just wanted to say that we have reviewed the staff report and the map, and we do not have any objections to the results, although I will note that I believe there was a typo in both the APN and the actual address of the property for this land capability challenge. The property is located at 949 Lakeshore Boulevard, and the APN, the only mistake there was that it is 122-251-12 instead of 151-12.
Good. Thank you for those corrections. Any other comments Absolutely. From you?
No, that is it.
Good. I think we can make those comments as part of our record changes. Anyone else for public comment today?
This is Phil Scholes. If you need me to provide some corrected graphics, Julie, let me know.
Okay. I think we're good. I can fix everything up and make sure the you know, final map and everything we issue has everything correct on it.
Yeah, I can fix the graphic if it's easy.
Very good. It looks as if the numbers that Jackson mentioned are shown correctly in the staff report, but not on our agenda. 949 Lakeshore and APN of 122-251-12. We'll make those corrections. Thank you. At this point, having no further public comment, I will close the public hearing and take action on the land capability challenge. Based on the information that's been presented in our staff report and discussed, including the findings, the determinations, and the conclusions reached, and the recommendation of our staff, I will approve the Indigo Violet LLC Land Capability Challenge as it's been presented. With that, we'll move on to item 6, adjournment, and we will adjourn the meeting of January 20th, 2022. Thank you, everyone, for participating today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew.
Ending the meeting in 3, 2, 1.